From the Art Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, America. How are ya? Actually, that's for our podcast version. That's when we get a bigger audience out there. I'm having a hard time hearing myself in this headset.
Good morning, Claudio.
Good morning. Whoop. I got a bad headset. Hey, good morning there. Speaking of interesting people we're having on, we've got Mark Lee of the Juke Joint going to hang out with us this morning. Good morning, Mark.
How's it going, Claudio?
I'm doing all right.
That's a good thing.
With exception to my headset. I think I'll try that other one.
You know, headsets just don't want to work sometimes. Yeah. That's the way they have a mind of their own. They're like your pets at home.
You go ahead and roll with that for a minute.
They never know what they're going to do.
Claudio, try this one.
Thank you.
Rocco.
Sorry about that, folks. We're learning how to fly this little biplane.
Rocco could relate to that. He probably got some pets at home that never follow his instructions, do they?
Absolutely. Mark, how have you been?
I've been doing good. Been keeping busy. You know, always got stuff going on in the Durham area. Been involved with a little bit of the campaigning that has been going on over there.
Well, I listen to your show all the time.
Well, I appreciate it.
You have a great show.
Thank you.
Listeners, Mark's show is on Thursdays, I believe, from 4 until 6.
That's exactly right, 4 until 6.
And he plays the best in blues, I can tell you that.
Indeed.
How's that, Claudio?
It's a little better. I'll see if it jumps from ear to ear. Otherwise, I'm just going to take these headsets off.
All right.
Seems to be... Let me start the show with something a little more unusual here. I think you folks will get a kick out of this. First of all, did you know life was sexually transmitted? We got to stop this. This is a true story here. So top this one for a speeding ticket in Kingsville, Texas. Like I said, true story. I got a good laugh when I read this. Two Texas Highway Patrol officers were conducting speeding enforcement on Highway 77 just south of Kingsville, Texas. One of the officers was using a handheld radar device to check speeding vehicles approaching the town of Kingsville. The officers were suddenly surprised when the radar gun began reading 300 miles per hour and climbing. The officer attempted to reset the radar gun, but it would not reset, and then it suddenly turned off. Just then, a deafening roar over the mesquite treetops on Highway 77 revealed that the radar had in fact locked onto a USMC FA-18 Hornet, which was engaged in a low-flying exercise near this, its naval air home base location in Kingsville, Texas. Back at the Texas Highway Patrol headquarters in Corpus Christi, the patrol captain fired off a complaint to the U.S. Naval Base commander in Kingsville for shutting down his equipment. The reply came back in true USMC style. Thank you for your letter. You may be interested to know that the tactical computer in the Hornet had detected the presence of and subsequently locked onto your hostile radar equipment and automatically sent a jamming signal back to it, which is why it shut down. Furthermore, an air-to-ground missile aboard the fully armed aircraft had also automatically locked onto your equipment's location. Fortunately, the Marine pilot flying the Hornet recognized the situation for what it was and quickly responded to the missile system alert status and was able to override the automated defense system before the missile was launched to destroy the hostile radar position on the side of Highway 77 south of Kingsville. The pilot suggests you cover your mouths when cussing at them, since the video systems on these jets are very high-tech. Sergeant Johnson, the officer holding the radar gun, should get his dentist to check his left rear molar. It appears the filling is loose. Also, the snap is broken on his holster. Semper Fi! I just thought that kind of cuts nicely into the morning.
Well, you know, we have a lot of military activity in the eastern part of the state with aircraft from Marine Corps, Air Station Cherry Point, Seymour Johnson Air Force Base.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Goldsboro.
There's a lot of activity over our skies, especially in the eastern part of North Carolina.
Well, folks, keep in mind, today being the day that it is, voting and all that jazz, go out there and kick up some dust, put in your vote. And bear in mind the same mantra that I've been going on with for quite some time now. Politicians are like diapers. They need to be changed often and for the same reason. That's why it's so funky in America. So, you know, do something. I like this little Warren Buffett statement here. In a recent interview with CNBC, he offered one of the best quotes about the debt ceiling, and perhaps we should take this to heart. Quoting him, "I could end the deficit in 5 minutes," he told CNBC. "You just pass a law that says that any time there is a deficit of more than 3% of GDP, all sitting members of Congress are ineligible for re-election." We really need to put some guards on these idiots we've got out there. And that's my take on that. And since we are edging into the big scenario, I'm going to give a few quotes by Jefferson. These are all statements by him, so forgive me if I go on for a minute. Quoting Jefferson, "When we get piled upon one another in large cities, as in Europe, we shall become as corrupt as Europe. The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not. It is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debts as it goes, a principle which, if acted on, would save one half of the wars of the world. I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. My reading of history convinces me that most bad government results from too much government. No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government." We certainly have plenty of that now. "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. To compel a man to subsidize with his taxes the propagation of ideas which he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical." And here's the one that really hits home. "I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered." And that was Thomas Jefferson making these statements.
And you know, that statement actually could have been made
yesterday.
Yesterday, because actually when the Democrats were down in Charlotte, I actually went down there and did a little bit of MC work, because I was involved when it was up and running with some of the local Occupy stuff, and there was a whole thing that they were going to both of the conventions, both the Republican and the Democratic convention, and were doing various kinds of Occupy kind of efforts. And I mean, one of the main people that they were looking at and trying to make sure that people understood their impact on us was the big banks. So I mean, that was it was called Occupy Wall Street South. So then definitely we went around by the bank area looking at Bank of America, Duke Energy, and some of those places. So,
and that along with our politicians that are bought and sold is pretty much what we're in right now. That's the soup we're boiling in.
That's the exact soup we're boiling in. And you know, I was just thinking about that and thinking about some of our founding fathers, and this has been something that's been weighing on my mind lately. While I'm very much involved and have been, my folks were actually very much activists when I was growing up, so I come from a family of folks that have been involved in social movements and some would even say politics to some level. I mean, my mom actually ran for Secretary of State sometime back and had some run-ins with people making promises and then not delivering on those promises. We know how that can be with politicians. But I was thinking about the fact that oftentimes when we go out to vote, you know, I try to stay informed with the different issues and try to make an informed decision. But we have so many people that go out there and vote, and basically they vote according to what somebody hands them a piece of paper about and tells them to vote for. And
pretty much, yeah.
You ask them why they're voting for that person, and they're like, you know, X, Y, and Z PAC told them to vote for that person without, and then you try to get them to understand further about those issues, and they can't even tell you why they did it. I mean, I even think back to the Amendment 1 kind of issues that were going on not too long ago here in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You asked a couple of people why they were voting that way, and they would tell you because they went and talked to their minister, and the minister told them to vote that way.
Yeah, a lot of that went on.
Yeah.
It's amazing how brainless and thoughtless some of these decisions are made. And, of course, our political parties are totally serving themselves now.
Yeah.
And so what they're spewing forth is the hype that everybody else seems to follow and use for voting purposes. Well,
Claudio and Mark, you were reading, Claudio, about the financial system, the banking system. the bank system we have today, the Federal Reserve System, was created as a central banking system by the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
But it is in and of itself a private institution.
It is. It is not part of the government, but the government passed a law allowing it to be what it is, and it's a central banking system that was established because of the instability of the financial system in the country in the early 1900s. And mm-hmm. in 1913, they passed the act and they created this Federal Reserve System. And, of course, it runs the money system in this country.
And it's odd that it's called Federal Reserve because there's nothing federal about it.
Exactly. There's nothing federal about it. I mean, the other thing that might be curious to find out, even if some of the listeners would have thoughts on this, is that for so often, I mean, there's not that much differentiation. There is some differentiation, but I would say that there's a lot of similarities between the Democrat and the Republican Party. So will we ever have a system where there's actually going to be a move where the third party candidates are actually, whether it's something out of Occupy, whether it's Green Party, whether it's the Libertarians, will actually have a chance to actually make their voice heard?
Or will I question that?
Claudia,
I
think, we have a call coming in.
Give us a second. I think Gore Vidal made the perfect statement where he said, America has only one party, and it is the party of property, and it has two wings.
Wow.
Do you want to take this call, Claudia?
Do we know who it is?
We do not know who it is.
Well, let's go ahead and take a chance. Let's hope it's not somebody looking for Joe's Diner.
They hung up.
They hung up. Whoops.
How dare
we scared
they.
Them already.
We scared
Jeepers.
Them off. We scared them off. How dare we scare them off.
Oh, God.
But the other thing.
Talk radio.
Yeah. The other thing that's kind of interesting when you look at the whole political spectrum is the way it was set up, there's supposed to be all these checks and balances, and you kind of wonder whether the checks and balances are actually working. I mean, like, one of those arms is supposed to be the arm of media.
Yeah, right.
But a lot of times the media is controlled by corporate institutions. I mean, if you look
whoever can afford it.
If you look at commercial radio, it's just a couple of networks.
Hello, who's calling?
This is Mike Wade. How you doing, Claudio?
Hi there.
Yeah, I didn't hang up on you. You just didn't answer the phone in time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I couldn't help but call in and make a comment about the statement that that Jimmy Buffett made about...
I love that guy. Go ahead.
...time the deficit. I wanted to say that people should get into the whole monetary reform movement. The deficit is totally unnecessary. The only reason we have one is because we borrow money from the Federal Reserve, which is a private banking institute.
Absolutely.
This power should be completely taken away from banks and given to the government. If the government had the power to create money, you just create the money we need for government and not borrow a dime.
Right.
We can supplement it with taxes. Everybody says, oh, it would be hopeless inflationary, but, you know, they create it out of thin air, so why is it inflationary?
Exactly.
When the government does it and not banks. So we need to just the whole way we do money and abolish or nationalize, rather, the Federal Reserve.
And I also think that every country should have a gold standard instead of piping money out of the air.
Well, gold standards are not necessary. You could have controls on the money without having
Well, that's
gold
true,
standard.
Yeah. I guess gold standard is just the old symbol.
There's not enough gold in the world. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But yeah.
The value of gold is constantly changing. Yeah, we just need to control the money, but have the government print it and print it free. No interest, no payments back to anybody. And we could also use that same power to just pay off the national debt and never have a national debt ever again.
I totally agree with that.
Probably one of the most important ideas floating around out there, and nobody knows about it. I encourage everybody to research it. Thanks a lot, Glenn.
I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, Claudia, whole concept of nationalizing something, I know a lot of folks, and there may even be centering some of their votes around it, are trying to think of how they feel about nationalizing healthcare. I'm actually somewhat of a proponent of it because I believe that...
I have held on to my German passport. I'm a permanent resident in the States, which means I can't vote. I can influence the vote, but I can't vote myself. But the reason I've held on to the permanent residency status is because if anything goes wrong with me, all I got to do is get on a plane and go to Germany, and I'm taken care of, and I don't lose my house and home like I do over here.
Exactly.
So I believe in socialized medicine. I totally do.
Well, I think one of the problems we have in the country is Let's take the Federal Reserve System, and I know Mike knows quite a bit. Mike
the federal
Wade,
joke,
who just
yes.
called in. Its powers over the years have expanded. They've evolved into more and bigger areas of the financial system mm-hmm. than when they started. And that seems to be the way of everything with this government and the country. If the government imposes a tax of 0.5% anywhere, that might be the case for that year. 10 years down the road, it's 10%.
Right.
You see what I mean? It starts out as one thing, but just continues to just expand and become bigger, more, and larger. Something different than what it started out as.
I agree. You had a really good perception on the, what was it, the popular vote, the whole, the way the system was put together years ago, generations ago.
Well, the founding fathers established the Electoral College
right.
as part of the Constitution. And at that time, the population of the United States was probably about 4 million people. 95% of the people were probably illiterate. They were not educated. They were not well informed. The country didn't have the communication capacity that it has now. And they felt that they needed to put in a system where the people could vote and elect the president, but not elect the president directly. And we never have had a direct presidential election.
And
to
reason?
This day, we do not have it. We have an indirect election of the president.
And the reason for viewing it that way was because the intellectual level, and back in that day, there was a lot more illiteracy than there is now. But for some reason, the package hasn't changed.
I mean, it would be real interesting to see if, and I'd be kind of curious to see how the numbers would play out. If we went, and I know we were talking about this earlier, on a more media-driven kind of way of doing the elections, whether that's online voting or however that would be done, because I would almost bet that there are probably more people that vote for American Idol than actually vote for the president.
Probably so.
When they do those American Idol kind of like telephone polls, and it'd be kind of curious if we ever went to that system or if they incorporate that, because, I mean, if you think back to the year that Reagan was elected, and I was actually in college that year, and it was much to our chagrin, because I've always considered myself some people would consider a progressive, some people would consider a liberal. I don't know what terms. I'm not one to totally fall into those terms, but definitely that's the kind
you're,
of...
You're maintaining a streak of independence.
Exactly. Right. And when that goes on, but I remember everybody was on the conservative side was very much saying that, you know, it was amazing that Reagan won and that he won in a landslide. And yes, he did win in a landslide in the popular vote. But then if you looked at those numbers as to how many people actually didn't vote in that election.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, God, it all loops. You know, I've been saying for a long time that computer, the media overall, the internet and all things combined that's part of the computer age now is the first actual taste of democracy that this country's ever really had, that the world has ever really had. Mm-hmm. So I would have to really consider what you just said as potentially flowing into that we may actually have more of a sense of democracy by going that route.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people, I mean, definitely as more and more people and more of society, I mean, I think the fear would be that some of the poorer regions and some of those that are not as computer friendly might get left out. But that's becoming,
well. Then you send educators to those areas just right. for the time of the vote.
Exactly.
That's an idea. Anyway, why don't we go to a little music, catch our breath, and then I'm going to present Mark Lee.
All right.
Absolutely, Claudio. You're listening to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Of course, we hope you're having a good morning. Stay tuned to 103.5. WCOM.
Thank you. this is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
FM Community Radio. This is WCOM.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Claudio.
Back to me. Man, I'm on again. Hey, just before we go over to Mark Lee, I want to quickly mention that I recently rescued a beagle who came to my home in the woods in Broadway rather pregnant. So I have I found home for two puppies, but I have four more beagle puppies that need homes. So if anyone's interested, please call me at 919-499-2565. I care very much about finding these beautiful little creatures some homes. On another note, I want to quickly make you folks aware of the what a billion, the number billion means, because our politicians are throwing billions of our tax dollars away. A lot of them disappeared in that illegal war overseas. Here's the concept for you. A billion seconds ago, and this information was put together in 2008, so take that into consideration. A billion seconds ago in 2008, it was 1959. A billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive. A billion hours ago, our ancestors were living in the Stone Age. And a billion days ago, no one walked on the earth on 2 feet. At least no one I've met. So that's the word. Okay, man, I just thought that might serve as an intro for you, man.
Hey, a billion is a whole lot.
That's a lot.
That's a whole lot.
And they're trying to make us sort of feel like this. We're talking millions here, but we're talking way more than that.
Well, Claudio and Mark, I think it takes 1,000 million to equal 1 billion.
1 billion.
So if someone has $400 million, they don't even have $500 million.
And they're essentially taking our collective bank and losing this money.
Kind of like makes you wonder about one of the candidates, since they're actually up there in the million-dollar category.
Yeah, right. Well, let's get back over to you. I'm going to ask you that intelligent question of being a host that's interviewing someone. What's it like being you, man?
What's it like being me? Well, you know, always involved in a lot of activity. So
no doubt about that.
It's always great being back on the radio, because like I said, I actually grew up in the radio as a teenager. My folks actually started one of the, earlier non-commercial radio stations not affiliated with the university, because they actually did that up in Warrenton, of all places.
I'll be darned.
Up in Warren County, and that was in the late 70s until like the mid-80s, because I actually went off the air shortly after I got out of college, and I graduated in 1984, so it was on for about roughly 10 years, and it was definitely a ride that they enjoyed, and I kind of, like I said, I was a preteen when it came on the air, and was in my probably like around mid-20s when it went off the air.
So it was kind of a natural groove for you very early on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Got right into the radio thing. But folks, me and my younger brother, actually, he teases me somewhat. I have a younger brother who's very much involved with helping at-risk youth. But when the station was being built, he very much was and is still now very much of a hands-on kind of person. So when they were literally building the station, he built the station. He had the hammer and the nail. He was hammering and nailing the station. I waited until the radio station came into fruition and did the glory parts. So being on the air.
Right.
So he would give me a hard time about that. He'd be like, yeah, I built the station. You just had the fun part of it. But he's been very supportive of all the efforts that I've been involved in. And I was on the station that's affiliated with North Carolina Central University for several years, about 10 years over there, and enjoyed that little bit of a run. And then I, like all things that happen in all kinds of businesses, there's management changes. And in that management change, some of us that were more community-oriented got kind of swept away. As a matter of fact, some of them are now over here on this station. So that's a good thing, because not only am I here, but Larry's here and a couple of others that were there.
I was going to ask, what did you discover in the run of this early move in your career, so to speak? What did you discover that your passion was or became as you evolved more in radio?
Oh, well, definitely a passion for being supportive of the local music scene, the blues music for sure. I mean, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. It's a blues
freedom
show.
Freedom of speech, et cetera.
Freedom of speech, and just being supportive of the entire arts community, particularly I'm growing to do a little bit more supporting stuff in Raleigh and Chapel Hill, but the core of the support that I've always been doing has been in the Durham area. So as I introduced myself at a focus group yesterday, and as I like to say, there's not a festival in Durham that you probably won't find me somewhere in the mix of. It's not in the planning part of it, or if it's not being the voice of.
Right.
I've been involved with, of course, the Bull Durham Blues Festival, which is our big festival in Durham.
Indeed.
I've been involved with that for multiple years, but also involved with Centerfest. There was a time frame that I had gotten away from that, but I came back this year as one of their MCs and helped them pick some of their performers for this year. And I've been involved for years with Bembe and the Eno. And it's actually interesting being involved in even that kind of work these days, because we're talking about the economy. And unfortunately, the economy has been also impacting a lot of our music venues.
Oh, big time.
And our music festivals. I mean, the blues festival scaled down, has bounced around. We were back at the old ballpark this year, and hopefully we'll be staying at the old ballpark. That's the feeling among the community. You know, a lot of that has to do with internal politics, so it's not a guarantee, but that's where definitely the people would like to see it at. And I've seen the scale back of Bembe Centerfest. I'm actually involved tomorrow with a focus group on the Eno, because the Eno is trying to figure out if 100-degree temperatures are hurting their attendance and also the economy. So they're looking at everything from possibly moving the date to also the whole economy of the Eno, because, like I said, things are a lot of the corporations that were giving money as part of their give back to the community aren't doing as much.
The arts always seems to be one of the first to get hit. It's like hitting the soul first and then everything else. I never quite have understood that, because that's really where we draw a lot of great inspiration from, and it's a good way to keep ourselves going as a people, to support and to maintain the arts.
And not just on the corporate level. I agree with you that it's definitely something that is cut on a regular basis. But, I mean, if you look at our education system, one of the first things that they talk about, some of the more conservative politicians, is cutting the arts out of the school. And I'm like, isn't that the core to being a well-rounded person, is having an understanding of the arts?
I would say so. That's actually the core to making education interesting.
Exactly.
That's what the children are drawn to. The biggest, the worst form of education could be one that's boring.
I mean, that's not going to educate anybody. It's going to disinterest the students.
Absolutely.
They're not going to be feeling like being involved. And earlier, y'all were quoting Plato and the great minds of the Greek minds. And the arts was a very important component of what they taught.
Well, of course, it serves our political system rather well to keep us stupid. Well, that's what they want.
That's very true.
That way we won't realize how stupid they are.
We won't realize that the stupider we are, the less we recognize Dan Quayle.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Yes.
Mark, didn't you have James Brown perform at the Blues Festival in Durham years ago?
We had James Brown perform years ago. I don't remember that necessarily being part of the Blues Festival, but we've had some great names. I mean, we had Isaac Hayes before.
Oh,
Isaac
man,
Hayes passed
I love
away.
Him.
And I mean, he came in with the chains and the whole shaft look. It was hilarious. And
The pre-Mr. T look.
We had Solomon Burke perform, and he just gave an awesome performance. We actually,
no doubt.
Sometimes when there's all kinds of interesting stories and backstories, and when Solomon was performing, he was a big man, very big man, and so we had to actually make a throne for him. The throne is actually the throne is actually still in the Hayti building, the St. Hayti Heritage Building. We've got it down there as a keepsake, and we pull it out every once in a while for different events, because it was supposed to be auctioned off, but that didn't quite come to fruition. So
did he have a bit of a Barry White look or something going on?
Oh yeah, he definitely had that very much had that look going on. But it's just always fun hanging out with the artists, and that's something that I thoroughly enjoy. And they're just full of energy. I mean, Coco Taylor, when she was living, was just a thrill to hear her perform. And anybody, and I know you've seen him before, anybody that's seen Buddy Guy give a concert knows that he's just amazing.
Yeah.
He just goes out into the audience. I don't care if it's a theater like the Carolina Theater or an outside venue like we've had at the Bull Durham Blues Festival for the most part. He just goes all over the place and just gets into the audience and gets the audience totally engaged. So that's always great when they do that. The Wild Magnolias, which you had this year, are another group that do that. If you know that whole New Orleans sound, they're going to get out there and just have you thoroughly engaged. So that's always great.
No doubt. You were telling me about a jazz festival that's sort of in the making at this point, that around and about Durham. I kind of like that idea. What was that?
Yes, it's Art of Cool, which is very much of an
Art
advocacy
of cool.
group
okay.
around the area. They've been doing these concerts at a couple of galleries, one in Raleigh called Flanders and another one in Durham called Labor Love, I believe it is. And out of this and their whole conversations with the jazz heads around the community, they realized that there needed to be a jazz festival. So they've been holding a series of focus groups. I actually did the first one about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and was me and the gentleman from Hopscotch were the moderators of that one. And then they've had different ones on different components. That was just kind of like looking at the overall footprint, what the footprint of the festival would look like.
Sort of peppering it throughout the town.
Right, peppering it throughout the town and how it would play out. And then they've had different focus groups, like the one that we just had yesterday dealt with fundraising, which is, like we were just talking about, is a key component of trying to figure out how you're going to get the money to do this kind of festival and how you're going to get the support, whether it's in kind, whether it's the big guns like the Crees and the Glaxos, but wherever the money's going to come from. And then they had one about the music. And then they've got some upcoming ones. And all of these are being held at American Tobacco in what they call the Underground, which is like a incubator for businesses and everything. And that one is going to be, the next one is going to deal with food. So they're going to be having a couple of the gentleman that's with the beer magazine will be involved with that. And then one of the food truck guys will be involved in moderating that one. And then the one after that will be dealing with kids. Because, I mean, you can't have a festival, particularly a family festival, without having something for the kids to do as well.
No.
So the lady from Kids Notes will be running that one. And I think they're trying to reach out to a couple other people, maybe the folks from Spirit House or Scrap Exchange, to see if one of them wants to come on and co-moderate with Katie.
And are they hoping to make this whole idea an annual tradition, or what's the game
plan?
Yes,
the whole game plan is to make this an annual festival. I mean, it'll be similar to what Hopscotch has become, an annual festival that'll be going on. Right now it's looking like it'll be held in the springtime of not this coming year, but the following year, so 2014. That's assuming that, you know, all of them reactionary and religious crazy folks are not correcting that we're still on the planet, since, you know, you got some of those silly people that are saying that it's all over after December or whatever they say the Mayan calendar says.
Rocco, I'm going to jump over to you for a second. You brought up something interesting about the Electoral College and where our founding fathers got the ideas from. This struck me completely out of the blue.
Well, I believe the founding fathers were searching for a term and a method to use something that they established, the Electoral College. And basically they looked at the College of Cardinals that the Vatican was using to select the Pope, where, as you know, the new Pope is picked by cardinals that get together and meet in Rome for maybe a week or two, sometimes longer, and then they will select the Pope from a various number of different people, and from a group possibly made up of just the cardinals.
Not so much the voice of the people at all.
No, not at all. And the Electoral College will meet now. I believe it's established to meet in the second or third week in December and vote for the new president. But they are not legally bound to vote for who was elected. Now, in the past 200 or so years, the system has worked where the College of Cardinals, the Electoral College,
right,
will select the person that won the state in the popular vote. So, in other words, if either candidate running for president in this state, North Carolina, whoever were to win this state, our electors are pledged to vote for that person. And that's the way it works. But they're not legally bound to do that. And there have been instances when electors from different states did not follow the protocol.
Certainly explains George Bush taking office.
So it's a very gray area.
Yeah,
it really is. But I think the founding fathers wanted to create that system where electors selected by the states that are going to go to the Capitol and vote for the president have the choice to vote or pick who they want, regardless.
And we talk about
of a
the separation
popular vote.
We talk about the separation of church and state. Yeah. There's one for under your cap.
We've never had a situation develop where the popular vote was won by an individual in the state and the electors of that state went against that vote. There have been instances where, say, a state like North Carolina, I believe it has 16 electoral votes, there have been times when one or two electors did not vote the way the state voted. Not in this state. I think Mississippi, possibly South Carolina, has had incidences. But it's a check on the popular vote. And it was put in there to not have the people of this country vote directly for the president.
But, you know, it's interesting you're talking about that. And you brought up George Bush. I was actually doing some research online earlier and realized that it's actually happened three times that the person that won the popular vote did not actually win the Electoral College.
That's right.
Huh. It was the last one was what you were just referring
to, Bush
with Gore. And then I believe the other time was Tilden and Hayes.
Oh, there's been a number of incidents.
It was 1876 and 1888. I don't remember the exact candidates.
I don't know what would happen if the Electoral College went against the popular vote in each of the states. That's never happened. That would bring on all sorts of possible changes. And, of course, you know, the Constitution is flexible, and it can be changed by constitutional amendment. It can be changed, not changed, but gone around in various ways by Congress and the president passing laws and executive orders and what have you. So it's a gray area, but I think the founding fathers were wise men, intelligent, smart men. They put together a government that has lasted and adopted to the population and the needs of the country for the past 230 years. It's not a rigid document.
Which is a good thing.
It's very flexible. And let's take that Second Amendment you were reading about with Jefferson, where the people have the right to keep and bear arms.
Right.
What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that you can walk around with a machine gun outside and keep it loaded? If you're a citizen, it's a gray area.
Sure.
And the laws involving gun control have changed over the years to adapt to the needs of the society.
To me, it suggests more if you're suddenly encumbered by a violent oppression from the government against the people, that you have something to defend yourself with. But again, you said it, like you said, they can create all kinds of spur of the moment laws to do you in anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, they can create those spur of the moment laws, like you said, and then I mean something that somebody may consider a hobby, for lack of a better term, but it involves a weapon. Then, if they decide to, then they can change the laws in such a way that even possessing that could be problematic. I mean, I have a very good friend of mine. Actually a Muslim brother who's very much involved into the whole bow and arrow things. I mean, that's like his hobby. He does bow and arrow shooting and does competitions, but I mean,
archery.
Who's to say at some point that they couldn't be looking at that and be like, you know, that's a dangerous weapon and put things into effect that make that even less of a right for him to have those kind of archery equipment.
Back to slingshots, people. Back to slingshots.
Or bayonets.
No weapons attached, just the bayonet. Charge!
Remember that famous quote during the debate?
Yeah, right. I want to make a quick apology. Apparently, just about every time I've missed a show, for some reason there's been, on the Evergreen, which is played on Simeon, somebody had selected a show I did not authorize, and it's been playing ad nauseum. I'm going to see to doing something about that so that you actually hear newer shows I've done, you know, when I, for some reason, cannot be here. But I'm sorry to say that it's been reported to me that the same show has been played ad nauseum. So I hope you're not that sick of me, folks. We'll try to put on the new stuff. In the meantime, why don't we go to a tune, Rocco?
Sounds good to me, Claudio.
Sounds real good.
You've found the right station for what you like and what you want on the radio. WCOM 103.5 FM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
The Lord called you early one morning, telling you to preach. So you opened
From the Arts Center in downtown Carrboro, Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Heard at 103.5 FM WCOM. Now here's Claudio.
Are we back again, man?
Yeah,
hey, who was that tune there?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Speaking of the Arts Center, that was Shamika Copeland. She was actually just here performing at the Arts Center and has been at the Bull Durham Blues Festival a couple of times. But she was here this past Thursday, and that song that she was doing was called Somebody Else's Jesus. And, you know, that's all about those folks that are a little bit intolerant of other people's views and other people's religions. I mean, one of my favorite songs that Dave actually gives me a hard time about, because I used to wear, sometimes you can, you talk about ad nauseum, sometimes you can have a certain song that also you can wear out.
Oh, yes.
That you could just love so much. And there's a song that a group does, MSG, the Acoustic Trio, does out of the Virginia area called Mean Church People, which is the same kind of theme, where it's kind of like, you know, asking people about that whole intolerance and letting other people dictate their views. I mean, we were talking earlier about Amendment 1, and I can't tell you how many people I've had have conversations where they were like saying that because their minister told them to vote a certain way.
Right.
And even that, they would even admit that it was a one-trick pony, that there was basically they were going to vote because of that one issue. They didn't like the fact that Obama came out in support of same-sex marriages and given those same kind of rights and everything. But they just because of that one issue and the way that they feel that the Bible addresses that issue, not understanding that the Bible is a complex book that looked at a whole lot of issues and has also been used to justify a lot of things that were unjustifiable.
Way too many, like wars, like the most atrocious wars we've had.
And slavery. I mean, there were people that used the Bible to justify slavery.
In Africa, the Dutch Reformed Church was promoting the separation between black and white.
Exactly.
And very similar things were going on over here. So, you know, when I came from Africa to here in 69, it wasn't that different. There was an apartheid of a different sort going on here.
Yep. Apartheid was definitely existing within the 60s as well.
So. And don't think for a minute that religious leaders don't have their biases and prejudices.
Exactly. We all have our biases and prejudices. Anybody that tells you they don't is lying to you.
Absolutely. It's not human.
It's not human that for you not to have some sort of bias and prejudice. You were talking about your beagle. You might like beagles versus boxers.
But I love all creatures. No, this just happens to be, for some reason, the animals that need rescuing find me in the woods. It's not that I'm trying to be in business rescuing animals. It's I can't see something suffering and not do something about it.
Well, I can actually relate to that because my dad is a big-time turtle collector, and he's got tons of turtles, and if there's a turtle going by, he'll catch that turtle. As a matter of fact, if you go to his...
Take him off the road.
Yeah, he actually had a turtle that unfortunately has passed on, you know. Yeah, turtles live
a long time. They live 100 years, don't they?
Some of them do, but not all of them do, and he had a turtle that passed on and had his leg broken when he found him, so he actually put him on a roller. He actually put him on wheels.
Oh, my goodness.
To help him get around.
Did the leg mend?
Like I said, he passed away... not that long after he did that, but it did help him live a little bit longer. And there's some great pictures. They may even be still on my dad's website because he's a pretty well-known local artist here in the area.
That's pretty cool.
If you get a chance to go to bambooturtle.com, I can't remember if those are on there or not, but there may be some of that stuff on there. And speaking of which, because, you know, I'm always supporting all kinds of people, including, got to support my pops. I just mentioned my dad. Got to support my pops. And he's actually, there's a really cool gallery called the... and I'm always mispronouncing it, so I'm going to probably kill it again. But it's if I remember the pronunciation right, it's the Carrick. And that's
the what?
The Carrick.
The Carrick,
right.
Okay.
And it's right there in the downtown Durham area, not that far from the place that you were just talking about, Blue Coffee. And it's in that general area near the Bull and all of that. But they do some really cool stuff. And on November 30th, so the end of this month, my dad will be having some of his artwork up there. So
what kind of artwork does your father do, if you don't mind?
He does all kinds of stuff. He does sound displays, so he incorporates sound within his art. But he also does pottery. And he's traveled around the world as well. He's actually spent some time in Eritrea and some of the African nations doing some teaching when he was teaching both between here at the UNC and Duke. And so he has some photography work. So he does some real cool stuff and some... So it covers a variety of mediums.
Sounds like somebody you should bring to my show sometime.
I'll have to bring them by. We'll have to talk about that sometime.
Absolutely. So what's coming up on your show?
Well, let's see. I've got some, of course, with the different artists that are coming in, anytime that there's a blues artist, like I know that we've got some other blues artists. I believe Rory Block will be coming to the Art Center, so I'm going to try to round up with our good friend Art, if we can't get Rory in here, because that's what happened with Shamika. So I'll try to do a live interview with Rory Block when that show comes up. And then anything that we've got coming up blues-oriented in the Durham area, I'm always promoting my city that I call home. So I'll be trying to talk to them. And, of course, I'm always supporting my local blues artists that are there in the Durham area or even in this area. I mean, Cool John Ferguson, I try to play his music on a regular basis. Bobby Hinton, John D. Holman. We've just got a wealth of tremendous talent that's right here in North Carolina.
That's for sure.
I mean, I'm just amazed at the kind of talent we have here. It's like I told a friend of mine, we were talking about the festivals, and I was talking about the different styles of music. I can't name a medium of music, including some that are not all that popular in terms of, like, overwhelming popularity,
mm-hmm.
that we don't have somebody representing it and representing it well. I mean, like, you don't think of polka as being a big-time thing that happens in the Triangle, but Polka Plus is an amazing polka band that's based right here in this area.
Think of the little German band that plays the Oktoberfest and so on. Yeah,
little German band is another case of that.
Yeah,
or the Klezmer band. There's a great Klezmer band that plays around. So there's just some amazing entertainment around here that's of all sorts.
No doubt. I mean, we are so multicultural anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love going to the International Festival. I was back there about a month and a half ago down in Raleigh, and you just seeing
I was hosting the dance there.
Okay, yeah, and that's just great seeing all those amazing performers from all over the country. I mean, all over the world, actually. You're just seeing them give you performances representing Australia, Latin
worldwide.
America.
Worldwide.
Yeah, it's just amazing watching that. So that's just a great thing. And
I did the closing Sunday. I basically the entire afternoon until the show was over. I did like 5 hours of emceeing that. Talk about being tired.
Oh yeah. Well, you know I do that emceeing for a lot of those things in Durham, so I know how that emceeing can get you very tired. People like
I mean
that's
they give
the
you they
job.
Give you some extensive reading on some of these when you're describing these cultures.
Yeah, they give you that extensive reading, and then you also have to read all those sponsors.
Oh yes.
That takes long time.
So. But I have to say, it was an amazing turnout at the Civic Center.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with the turnout that they had. And the other thing I was going to talk about, just if you don't mind, was I will tell you that I've involved with a lot of different things. Well, something new that I've just gotten involved with is this whole improv group. So they're going to be doing a performance later on this evening. And, of course, it being Tuesday and election night.
And, of course, a mutual friend of ours is in it, Yvette Holder. Hello, Yvette.
That's right. She's in there, and she's the actually one of the people that helped create it along with myself, and we've
fantastic.
Got some amazing improv performers. Rocco was mentioning his home area of not being that far from Greenville. One of the guys actually drives all the way down from Greenville, Matt White, and he plays off on the fact that he's very dark-complected, but his name, his last name is White, so he plays off of that a lot.
That's dedication.
It is improv, so he comes, and there's a gentleman named Oliver Riera, who's a Venezuelan descent that comes from out of the Raleigh area, and Boris Bearclaw is of Russian descent, and he's out of, I believe, Apex is home for him. So
he's certainly keeping that international thing going.
Try to keep that international thing in a nice little mix, and this being election night, we try to do something. It's the first Tuesday of every month at the Casbah, which is a place not that far from Brightleaf that's a nightclub. So we do the first Tuesday of every month, and this Tuesday being election night, the first half of it will be political themed. It was actually fun watching them do the debate with the presidential cousins, because we had rehearsal on Sunday, and they're going to do a whole routine around the presidential cousins. So
fantastic. Well, we got about 2 minutes to wrap it up. Rocco, is there anything else you wanted to add before we go off air?
I just would like to tell the listeners to tune in to Mark's show on Thursdays. And Mark, why don't you tell them what time your show is?
Yeah, the show is from 4 to 6. Definitely would love to have the folks that are listening to Claudio that are not familiar with my show to tune in and hear this great blues music.
Tell them what day.
It's on Thursday afternoon between 4 and 6, and you'll hear all kinds of great blues music. Like I said, you'll get the Piedmont sound, but you'll also get some West Coast jump. You'll get some Chicago. And I am definitely a big fan of Memphis soul and what some people might consider some saucy kind of lyrics. So you might hear some lyrics that'll get you cuddling up next to your loved one, because I can definitely get a little bit on the blue side.
Getting cheeky and naughty. Anything to any
Claudio,
final announcement there? I just
Claudio, who do you have coming up next week?
We've got David McNeil, who is actually at UNC. I don't want to confuse his credentials, but he is basically big in the nuclear industry. He had to do with the shutting down of Chernobyl and so on, and I've had some experience in the nuclear industry because I wanted to educate myself against the radiation, so I took some work there years ago as lead fire watch, Sharon Harris, now Progress Energy. But we're going to discuss all sorts of things related to the nuclear industry. I'm not particularly impressed with it, but he can give us some inside scoops there, and that's what's happening next week on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. In the meantime, Mark, consider yourself part of the Speakeasy family, which means I'll be picking on you again at some point.
No problem.
Rocco, thank you for your invaluable help.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Always good to see you.
And thank you, folks, for tuning us in. And again, I apologize for that ad nauseum, what do you call it, simian thing they've been playing. I'll see to it about fixing that. So thank you for tuning us in. I'll see you folks next week on the radio. Cheers.
Chapel Hill and Carrboro Community Radio. This is WCOM.